Welcome to the this month UBS Global CIO live stream. It's a pleasure to have you here. My name is Burkhard Warnhold, and I'm your host today as Marc Haeffeler, our Global CIO, is traveling today and cannot attend. It's a beautiful afternoon. Spring seems to be approaching. Stocks are buoyant. The US economy is strong and cross-asset volatility, despite geopolitical uncertainty, continues to remain low. What's more, looking out of the window where I am right now, it's warm and sunny, and I cannot help being reminded of the iconic 1979 comedy called Being There, with, for those of you who might remember it, Peter Sellers, alias Chance the Gardener, who through a series of coincidences is being introduced to the US president. He muses that when spring comes, usually growth follows too. The American president is deeply impressed by the simplicity and the wisdom in the words of Chance the Gardener, "When spring comes, growth follows." It seems reminiscent, or at least it seems that markets share that view as they have been rallying in the first month of this year. And so as we get right into our discussion today, I'd like to ask some of those big picture questions to my colleagues, Paul, Nadia, and Carolina. Looking at the wider topics, the three ones that stand out, first and foremost, will there be growth in spring? Will there be no landing or maybe a soft landing? And of course, the Fed and monetary policy. Two, the other question investors are asking is, especially tech stocks are rising to unprecedented highs, could this be somehow like the tech bubble in 1999, 2000? And what to do now? And the third one, of course, which has to do with the first two ones, is managing risks in markets like this. Now, in the first part of this public live stream, I want to discuss the economics and monetary policy questions with Paul, our chief economist, and then move on in the exclusive client part of this live stream, where Nadia and Carolina will cover the different asset classes and share with us our top investment recommendations. Paul, the Swiss National Bank really took markets by surprise last week. Unusually, they preempted whatever the ECB or the Fed might be choosing to do. Can you share with us your thoughts on what happened and what investors should expect as monetary policy proceeds from here?
Well, I think, Burkhardt, what we saw last week was probably quite shocking inside Switzerland, and perhaps less shocking, just a little bit more surprising outside Switzerland. It's not quite so dramatic. And the reason for that, I think, is that a lot of people inside Switzerland and in the Swiss markets are saying, well, you know, the SNB will move with the ECB. But sitting from an outside perspective and looking at what has happened with Swiss inflation, I mean, Swiss inflation is sort of the envy of the developed world. And so what I think the Swiss National Bank has done is what actually we expect other central banks will get round to doing. They have followed inflation lower. So Swiss inflation has come down comfortably. It's nicely within, you know, the traditional range that the SNB is comfortable with. And so I think that the Swiss National Bank has felt that they don't want rising real inflation-adjusted interest rates. And they're not going to wait for the ECB because let's face it, the ECB is always late with its policy decisions. No matter what they're doing, they're always late. So the SNB thought, right, you know, we're going to be sensible. We'll follow inflation down. I would expect other central banks to follow that philosophy. So I do expect the Bank of England, the Fed, and eventually the ECB will follow inflation down, but their inflation rates have not come down as quickly as those of Switzerland. So the Swiss took pole position on this particular occasion.
So what does that mean for the US dollar and the euro, Paul?
Well, this is an interesting question. And the honest answer, I think, is it probably doesn't mean that much of itself. Because although I do think the ECB is likely to be delayed in cutting rates, it's not going to be delayed by that much. I mean, we're talking a month or 2 months. And, you know, what's 8 weeks in terms of interest rate moves? Moreover, I think that financial markets, once the Fed starts to ease rates, are likely to just simply price in that the ECB will eventually get round to doing this. So if we think about interest rate differentials as being a potential driver of currencies, I don't think it actually plays that big a role. I think it's fairly minor because the central banks are more or less moving at the same time, you know, give or take a few weeks here and there. And so I think the dollar it sort of stays roughly as it is, which is overvalued against fundamental fair value, but currencies never trade at fair value. They're always over or undervalued. So it stays overvalued for a little while. And then I think maybe in the second half of the year, as political risks start to be priced into the market regarding the United States, then maybe the dollar loses a bit of ground and the euro picks up a bit. And we see the euro moving, you know, 112, 115, that sort of level by the end of the year. But that's not really about the interest rate story or the central bank.
So before we conclude the public section of our live stream, Paul, I want to ask you, the US elections are coming up. Of course, it's still some time to go, but investors are all asking about it. What's your take on how that could play on the US economy and again on the US dollar?
Well, I think this is inevitably a very complicated subject. The first point, which we must stress, we do not have an election in the United States in November. We have over 30,000 different elections in the United States in November, and they all matter, and they're going to make a difference. Yet what happens with Congress versus what happens in the White House, that's going to be significant. Whether or not there are ballot initiatives or referenda on abortion in certain states could make a huge difference to turnout and influence the overall election outcome. So enormous amounts of uncertainty. The main candidates are not necessarily explaining their policy stance. We don't know who former President Trump's vice presidential running mate is likely to be. All sorts of uncertainty. Now, in my view, I think markets are not really going to price in political risk around the US elections until we've had the party convention. So that's July, the Republican convention, August for the Democrat Party convention. So I think we've got a few months before markets really start to focus in on what the probabilities are. Even then, we're going to be struggling because what we've been seeing in the primary campaigns is that opinion polls have really not been doing a very good job of predicting voter outcomes. And of course, in the financial markets, we tend to lean very heavily on opinion polls to get a sense of what's happening. And so I think that adds an element of insecurity to markets' perceptions of political risk in what is a very, very polarized election. So I think we can expect a lot of noise and a lot of volatility. But for now, I think markets are concentrating on the fundamentals. They're concentrating on economics. And of course, economists are always far more important than politicians. So the focus is going to be on the economic side for now. And then I think over the summer, we start to have to reassess the political risk.
Well, thank you for that, Paul. Now, I want to conclude the public part of our live stream and move on to the client-only part. For those watching this on LinkedIn, I wish you a great rest of the afternoon or evening, depending on where you are.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.